We're back.
Hi.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Scare Traducing.
Yay.
A horror movie podcast for Halloween. It used to be about franchises, then it was about new releases, and now it's about Halloween.
It's whatever you want to be.
It's whatever it wants to be.
It wants to be, like, if you want it to be for Halloween, for Christmas, for... whatever you want to watch a horror film, we're here.
Why were we gone? Do you remember why we were gone?
Oh my God. Life. Again, I think we always say the same. I have people over. We have friends in the summer.
Well, do you remember why I asked if we could put it on hold for a bit?
No.
What happened at the start of the year?
Oh, you got a new job?
Kind of, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you were looking for a new job, and then you got the new job, and, yeah.
I was just like, can't focus on this at the
time. Yeah, that's true. And also, we have friends over, we have some trips. Well, initially, I applied for my UK visa, and I wasn't allowed, well, I thought, there's going to be 6 to 8 months that I'm not allowed to leave the country. So, I'm going to be here, but I ended up having my visa after 10 days of applying, and it's mental. Like, I've been everywhere with friends, like, joining them in their Euro trips, inviting people over here, and yeah, but yeah, it's been a busy summer.
We're not in summer anymore.
Exactly. Summer. Can't believe now we are in October.
Yes.
Our favorite season.
Well.
Halloween.
For movie watching, yes. But yeah. For general day-to-day life, I'm not a big fan of October.
I mean, it hasn't been that bad, to be fair.
Yeah, but I know it's going to get worse.
We have a friend.
Also, I've been sick the last few weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. We were sick for 2 weeks after coming back from a wedding. Then I'm convinced
somebody at that wedding was sick, and that's where I got it.
And nobody said anything, right? Well,
no, there was loads of people I didn't know.
Bastards. So. Anyway, also we had a friend over, and the weather here was mental. Like, I think it rained. Worth of like 20, like it was 24 hours, the rain, worth of a month of rain.
Yeah.
And it was mental. So, yeah, a lot of things happened.
But yes, I got a new job working in the media, finally. But I'm in the finance department, which isn't exciting. I work for a company that's owned by, but is not Warner Brothers, but owned by Warner Brothers.
Mm.
So... that was, fancy. Yeah, I'm not allowed to criticise David Zavlav on this podcast. It's contractually not allowed. I agree with all his decisions regarding streaming and theatrical releases, except, yes, I don't. So yeah, that's where we've been, which timed poorly because I very briefly... started to get some quite nice feedback on Instagram and stuff around about the time where I was like, I don't want to do this every week. I don't want to, like, I want to focus on work. I want to focus on this thing. And then over the past few months, a few people, not too many, but a few people, more than I expected, have been like, do you not do that anymore?
Same. Like, do you still have the podcast? Like, oh my God, like, I'm following you now. And I'm like, oh my God, we haven't released anything. But that's why we're here. Because there's so much stuff.
There's always stuff
for Halloween.
So we are back. And before we get into what today... well, this episode in particular is mainly just a run through of 2023 horror movies that we've missed, that we've not spoke about. That we're not missed, obviously. We couldn't speak about it if we'd missed it. But... over the last year or so, we've been like doing movies that were in cinemas, like big releases, and there's been a few this year, or maybe ones that horror fans were talking about online that were getting people excited, and again, there's been a few this year, and we haven't covered or spoke about any of them. So, this is a reintroduction episode where we're going to go through what 2023's looked like.
So far.
but with two films in particular. Do you want to speak? Do you have any 2023 horror thoughts in general before I give you some bullet points I've taken?
I mean, 2023. Well, if we go back to the very beginning of the year,
yeah,
I remember Megan.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my God, this is a strong start, something different in horror. And then there was nothing. I feel like there hasn't been a lot.
So we did.
In my opinion, I don't know. That I can remember, but I feel in this past 2 months,
mm-hmm.
we've seen a few things that I'm like, okay, I really enjoyed that.
Okay.
Especially two. Like, that is Cobweb and Talk to Me.
Right.
Love
okay.
those films. Megan, I think that's so far all I can tell you.
So we did 5 episodes before we stopped this year. And of the 5, 3 of them were new release films. One of them was Megan, as you said.
Loved it.
One of them was Knock at the Cabin,
mm.
which I loved. You were not on. And one of them was Scream 6,
mm.
which I thought was a bit like... I liked it, but it's my least favourite. There were some big films that we were excited for at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were as follows. Which one did I go for? Skinamarink. Let's go Pearl first. Pearl.
I liked it.
Okay, you watched it at home.
Yes.
I went to the cinema. You went to the cinema.
I liked it.
I wasn't mad on Pearl.
I love
X and was so excited for Pearl, and I didn't think it was that good. I was reading today, actually, on Reddit, just a load of comments, and so many people think Pearl is better than X. Pearl is not better than X.
I think so.
No.
I love Pearl.
No, like, X is so much better.
Like, not loved it as I would put it in my top 3 so far. Again, I'm really bad ranking, but I really...
You would put it in your top 3, or you wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
All right.
But I really liked it.
Okay. Then The Boogeyman.
Okay, yeah.
Based on the Stephen King short story.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, not a fan. But you really like that short story.
Oh, I love the short story. That's why I think I was really disappointed about that movie.
Same. Talk to Me, as you mentioned.
I love the
Talk
movie.
To Me is love, very good.
It's so much fun.
You said you were talking about it last night as well.
Yeah.
Talk to Me, that's a good one. And then 3 that I've got listed together, which are Skinamarink, Ennis Men, and The Outwaters. I've bolted those together in my little list here that I'm looking at. But let's go Skinamarink first.
Shit.
Okay, you thought it was shit, yeah. I wasn't a fan of Skinamarink either. Mainly because the trailer is so good. I think that trailer
is
fucking
disturbing.
Exceptional.
It's disturbing. It's like, I'm curious to tell me more.
Yes.
But then you watch a movie and I'm like, I'm bored.
Right,
like,
okay.
It's the same over and over, confusion, things happening.
Okay.
But over and over again, like, I get tired of
and
it.
This is why I've grouped these films together. We saw Ennis Men at the cinema.
Oh my God, like, so bad. Like, I was bored.
You were really bored. The director was there.
At the beginning,
yeah,
it was good because I thought the, how you call it, the landscapes and the photography of that, it was nice. But then I was like, okay, what else? What's happening? Am I seeing the same rocks over and over again? I know the routine of this person and it's just repeating the same thing, but something slightly different. You start like losing the notion of time and it's like, I know something's going to happen. I don't know when. And things start happening. Like, you know what? I'm bored.
Yeah,
like,
I would agree with that.
I'm bored.
And then The Outwaters, which is the most recent one that we saw, which
that
we watched
one,
here.
Probably will be my favorite of the 3.
It's my favorite of the 3.
But
yeah.
I still don't like it. Yeah. And it's really weird. Probably, I don't know, if you watch a movie, probably it should come with a message saying, take drugs now. You know, like, so you enjoy the trip with us. Because it was so weird at the end. Probably the first, we'll say, half? Like, half?
It's about 2 hours.
I will say, take the drug now so it kick
up
the second half. And maybe you, I don't know, it's just weird. It goes mental.
It does go
mental.
But
I enjoyed it more because it had more of a plot. that I can kind of follow.
I don't
follow,
even know if you could say that.
But...
So the reason I group them together is, like, I think they are, like, as I said last year on our episode...
Bloodless.
I had said that the film Men by Alex Garland felt like a sort of the end of one cycle of horror, like almost this metaphor-based prestige horror. Like, that's coming to an end. People are maybe bored with that now. And where does it go next? And that's why we're getting things like Halloween's back, Texas Chainsaw Massacre's back, Chucky's back on TV, Scream's back. Like, we're getting all the classics coming back to sort of fill the gap while we try and figure out where to go next. The three films I just mentioned, Skinamarink, Outwaters, Ennis Men, they're not going to, you know, produce a boom in horror, but I find it interesting that they are all out in the same year, all sort of indie darlings of people defending them online, but they're not seen by wide audiences, but they're really fucking abstract. Like, so abstract.
I mean, I respect them for trying something.
Oh, fucking hell do they try.
And trying to change the way we watch horror.
Yeah.
In a certain way, but... Like, it
feels like they don't meet the audience halfway.
Exactly.
It's kind of odd.
Like, you... Okay, I get... your point, or the abstract part that you mentioned, mm-hmm. but
so
it's too much. Like, you need to introduce us to this way so of watch horror, but
that's what
they just like drop it to us, and I'm like, we're not ready. So, we are a generation that is coming. It's coming from all these remakes of the classics that you mentioned, and we're having like sequels and stuff, and now. You need to slightly give us this in small doses. They just drop it to us. Like, boom, that's it.
Yeah. And that's why I find it so strange they've all came out relatively close to one another. And as I say, who knows? Maybe horror will look like that in the future. And then you go back and you go, oh, holy shit. They were
that
onto
was a
something.
Masterpiece,
who knows?
Yes.
But for now, Skinamarink is a lot of looking at shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And The Outwaters is a lot of looking at... like a video camera torchlight, and so most of the screen is black.
It's
you're
dark,
seeing
yeah.
just a torchlight, and it's like that for an hour. I listened to an interview actually with the director of The Outwaters recently, and he said he got so annoyed. He gets so annoyed by the criticism of people saying like this would work better as a short, and I think I was like of the mindset like this would work better as a short, and he was like, I fucking hate that. Like, well, it's not a short, so get over it. And I was like, right, so the point is the repetitive nature of it and kind of annoying the audience. Like, you can't see anything, but you can hear a lot of stuff or you can imagine a lot of stuff. And it's, I don't know, like you say, like you're on a drug trip. Like, it's kind of trying to not just change or scare you. It's trying to change the way you think about a horror film, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. And... I guess that if the movie is about a breakdown in time, then it feels like... Like, I think The Outwaters feels like it goes on for... I couldn't believe it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, that felt like 3.5, 4. Like, I watched The Irishman again very recently. That's 3.5 hours. It feels so much shorter than The Outwaters.
The last time we watched Titanic, I didn't feel
you
the
don't
time.
Feel it.
It's
or
so...
The last hour of The Outwaters, you're like,
it does
oh
take you
my
on a trip
God.
In a good one that you don't feel it. That you
the
are
Outwaters you do feel.
No, Titanic.
Uh-huh.
But this one is like, oh my God, like, is it about to finish?
Like, and then you're like,
now?
Oh my God, it's
oh, no,
still 45 minutes.
Again. I'm repeating the thing. Oh my God.
So I think 2023 has been an interesting, if rather weak year for me so far.
Weaker than last year?
Absolutely. I listened to our own episode yesterday when I was watching The Ditches. Dishes, yeah. And The Black Phone did not make my top 10 last year. The Black Phone would easily be in my top 10 this year.
Oh, The Black Phone's a good movie.
It's a great movie. And I mention it saying, like, it's just nudged off the top 10.
I haven't seen this movie, but I think you have. Is this this year or last year? Infinity Pool.
That's this year.
And?
It's on my top 10.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But, for example, Cocaine Bear is still on my top 10.
Cocaine Bear.
Well, do you count Bo is Afraid as a horror film?
No.
Okay, if you don't, then Cocaine Bear is on my top 10. If you do, then Cocaine Bear is pushed to number 11. Anyway, we're not here to talk about top 10s. That's for the end of the year. That's just a rundown of some films of 2023, how we feel about the year in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give you bit more insight into two films in particular.
Films, yes.
They are as follows: No One Will Save You and Cobweb. So up first is No One Will Save You. Okay, so my notes here for No One Will Save You, I've written down: the current word-of-mouth horror fan social media hit that seems to have come from absolutely nowhere.
Oh.
Now, when we planned this episode a few weeks ago before I got sick,
mm-hmm.
and so we didn't record it, you could probably still hear a little bit of my voice, but...
You sound sexy.
Yeah, I feel like that was true at the time.
Uh-huh.
This is my problem with streaming. I don't feel that way anymore.
Oh.
Do you think... This is not the movie people are talking about now.
No.
Nobody's talking about this movie. There was like a brief period where Stephen King was tweeting about it. Guillermo del Toro was tweeting about it. And so like, oh, you know, people like, oh, whatever. And then it just... It's the nature of streaming. It just comes and it dies very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
For example, The Fall of the House of Usher, the Netflix series from Mike Flanagan. That's now out. That came out on Thursday. We haven't watched any of it.
Because we hadn't had time. We haven't had time. Fair.
But I haven't read anything about it.
No, I haven't, actually.
People are going to the cinemas to see...
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Oh, yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, they're going to see Taylor Swift theaters. But, like, Saw X is doing okay. I don't know how well The Exorcist Believer is doing, but, like, people are seeing it.
Yeah, like, they're watching the horror films that are in the cinema.
The cinema, they will always beat streaming. And I wish No One Will Save You had went to... cinemas.
Okay.
Because as I said, when I was like, we need to talk about this, everybody's talking about it. That was like 3 weeks ago. Nobody's talking about it anymore. Nature of streaming, it has died. It's gone.
Keep talking about it.
I think it's good enough to warrant a discussion throughout the Halloween season.
Okay.
Of people being like, hey, have you watched this for Halloween? So yeah. It's directed by Brian Duffield. I believe he's Irish. It's a second feature film directorial feature film, but he's been around for a while. He was a writer on films like The Babysitter and Underwater, which you haven't seen, but is good. And he was a producer on the aforementioned Cocaine Bear. Cocaine Bear is coming up more than once. Cocaine Bear, number one of the year. I listened to the Empire podcast, which had an interview with him, and he stated that the title is supposed to evoke 1950s era sci-fi alien disaster movies. Titles like It Came from Outer Space or It, the Terror from Beyond Space. Sort of bold, dramatic titles. And I went back and was like, oh shit, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. No One Will Save You is a great title.
Yeah.
It's like It Follows. Like, it's just, whether you like the film or not, like, that's such a good title for a movie. Like, what's your movie called? No One Will Save You. Okay, I'm in.
You know what.
What the fuck is that about? It stars Caitlin Dever? Dever? I don't know how you pronounce her surname. Let's say Dever. She is the protagonist, Bryn. She's been in loads of films. You might have seen her last year in Ticket to Paradise with George Clooney and Julia Roberts. She was in Unbelievable, the Netflix miniseries. Dope Sick, a miniseries we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she's one of the leads in Booksmart, Olivia Wilde's film Booksmart, which I really like.
Yeah, I like that movie.
It's available on Hulu if you're in the States. Disney Plus if you're in the UK. That's right, Disney Plus. Because Disney Plus and Star come as a package deal here, just in case you didn't know. And Star in other places such as Mexico.
Yeah.
apparently it did have a small theatrical release in the USA, but as far as I could see, it didn't come out in cinemas here. And then it came out in streaming on September 22nd, which is less than a month ago. And as I say, since then, has had a huge spike in popularity and then crashed and burned, died. Hmm. Nobody's talking about it. And we're here to tell you, if you're looking for a movie for Halloween, you could do a lot worse than this, I think.
Okay.
So, do you want to get into the plot?
Yes.
With as little spoilers as possible.
Okay, a plot. Is this a girl living, looks like lived by her...
She lives alone.
But yeah, alone in the house. For some reason, we don't know, the town doesn't like her. And
we don't know at the start.
Things sorry. Start happening in her house. She starts hearing sounds and it looks like there's aliens.
Yeah, alien invasion.
Yeah.
It's alien invasion meets home invasion.
Yes.
So essentially Brian Duffield in an interview said he wanted to make a film essentially where the aliens fly, you know, from galaxy to galaxy. Like how many fucking thousands of miles, millions of miles mm-hmm. they've came to get to Earth. Why would they not just go straight through the front door of the house that they want to go into?
Yeah.
Like, what's stopping them?
Yeah.
So, essentially, you think of alien invasion movies where the, you know, the alien's outside or it's creeping around or blah, blah, blah. And then you get the third act set piece where it finally comes into the house, it finally meets the person. They have the action. They have the... Essentially, No One Will Save You starts with that.
Yeah.
Which is, first night, she lives alone. Her home is invaded by an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And she kills it.
And that's something, like, I loved about that movie because I thought, oh, she killed the alien. What did you do with the body? So are they coming?
That's...
Are like, oh, do you need to hide it? How you hide it? It's like, can you bury it and it's, like, gonna disappear? Like, it's a plant? It's like, you know, I don't know. Like, what did you do with the body?
Of an alien.
You don't know how that body is sending signals.
Right, it's like a like, wasp.
Uh-huh, or like, is it actually gonna just be rotten? Because in the movie we see the stinks. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, I didn't know. Like, maybe it's like this smell that is bringing all people. It's like some fluids coming out. Is that the call? With the smell, like, oh, what would you do with a body of an alien? That's amazing. Like, I never thought it but I kill an alien, and then what I do? Like,
well, if you could take it to Mexico and get it x-rayed.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Whatever happened with that?
I have no idea.
Because they did scan things.
Yeah, they said
they looked so fake.
You think?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm.
Like, did they just scan it all and be like, oh yeah, it's just like a piece of cardboard. Like, this is just something that this guy made. Like, it seemed like such a waste of time. Like, I just looked at it and going, like, it looks so fake.
Well, to be fair, that guy is well-known, Jaime Maussan. Since I have memory being a kid, waking up in a Sunday morning, he will have a TV show called...
Wait, the guy who took the aliens to the... Parliament of Mexico. He's a celebrity. He's not just a guy.
It is a celebrity. Fuck's but
this is obviously PR stunt.
It is a celebrity because he is well known to investigate aliens.
Right.
Like he's an alien enthusiastic. You call it?
Yeah.
I don't know if he has any studies on this, but since I was a kid, I know. Oh, Jaime Maussan, the guy with the white hair, mm-hmm. telling us that aliens are coming. Their proofs, blah, blah, blah. And he's the one that took this again. Like,
it's obviously a PR stunt.
So everybody, it's so funny for me that it's in the news, and I was like, oh, that's Jaime Maussan. You know, like everybody knows. It's like, you know, the guys from History Channel, like aliens.
Yeah,
it's like that, like one of those.
Okay, well, I need to Google that later on today and try and find out what happened with it.
But yeah, so the girl kills.
She kills
the
alien.
Yeah, and trying to like fix our house because it's a fucking mess. And she needs to go to town because you start hearing like they took the alien back the next morning.
Do they know?
Yeah, you can see floating around.
And she leaves it in the house and goes into town. And if they take it back, they do it off screen.
Oh.
We don't see the alien leave. But I'm pretty sure they don't take it back.
No, I remember seeing it, like how this light and then the light like floats.
Is that not later on though?
Mm, don't know.
Anyway, what I should say is essentially, it's essentially taking an alien home invasion and shifting the starting point. What if the start point was the end of a traditional movie? What happens then? Once you kill the alien, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the rest of the movie plays out. Do more of them turn up? Why is nobody in the town talking to her? Why is the film silent? It is a silent movie. Do you remember this?
Well,
there's no dialogue. Well, there's like three lines of dialogue.
You told me about, oh my god, this film has no dialogue.
Has basically no dialogue.
And I'm like, what? But I wonder if you haven't told me this.
Would I
have noticed? And I will be like, oh, the girl hasn't talked.
She hasn't said
anything.
I mean,
she lives alone. And she's not going to talk to the aliens. But
you would.
And also the town doesn't speak to her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't, yeah, like, that's so funny, I think.
So part of me thinks, like, I listened to, as I say, to an interview, and he says that it was like, it came naturally as he was writing the script.
Okay, so it wasn't intentional, like, but, she's not going to talk.
No, but he says it came naturally for like the first couple of sequences or mm-hmm. whatever. And then he realized, oh, she hasn't said anything yet. I think he said it was the sequence where she goes to the police station
mm-hmm.
and why she doesn't report it because something happens. And that was the first point he realized, oh, wait, she hasn't said anything so far in the script. Mm-hmm. And from then on kind of was like, how far can I take it? And I feel that's the, I don't know if it's the downside. It's the one thing I think the longer it goes on, I can feel...
It's forced.
Like, you're, yeah, the first couple of, like, you know, maybe first two-thirds of the movie, you're like, I get it. And then as it goes on, you're like, I think you're now coming up with ways to not have her say things.
Yeah, because even when she's scared, I feel like I will say, like, oh, fuck, or like, oh my god, or something. Like, you know, when an explosion next to me, I will be like, ah,
yeah.
Like, ah, shit, ah, something.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't say anything.
She does not say anything.
She just cries and does weird sounds. But apart from that, yeah, she doesn't say anything. And I feel that that's not natural. I don't know. I think
everybody will say something. It becomes kind of like a, you know, a forced version of it. Uh-huh. I think. But it's still, and then obviously you learn why nobody's talking to her, why she lives alone, you know, why her house is done up like the 50s and she's got this like really almost childlike view of things, I guess. I don't know. And the movie plays out like that. I don't know. I don't know if you got any more. I would say it's a good popcorn film to stick on with friends.
Oh, definitely.
Especially with the dialogue thing, because it's like, you can, you know, watch this with a bunch of people and not miss anything.
Yeah.
If somebody says something, you're not like, shut up.
Oh, I never thought about that, but that's so true.
It's just action for
you can like watch it. Oh, the pizza's here, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll bring me a plate and the movie's still on.
Movie's still on.
And you still enjoy it because you don't need to.
I think it's really well done. I think Caitlin Dever is excellent in it. I think I actually like the alien design.
Me too.
The alien design is like, we're going, as I say, going back to the 1950s with titles and old sci-fi. That's what it is. It's green men. It's green men with big eyes and, you know, skinny. Long limbs, skinny limbs. It's very retro. Like, it kind of reminds me a bit of when we went to see Nope in the cinema.
Yeah.
If you remember the sequence where Daniel Kaluuya goes into the barn and then the little kids are pranking him, but we don't know it at the time.
Oh, and then,
and they lean
out
and they've got like big heads with big eyes and like little arms. And you kind of freaked out in the cinema a bit.
You were like,
oh, fuck, what's that?
Oh, it's this movie, yeah.
And I remember watching Nope feeling a bit disappointed because I was like, I know this is Jordan Peele. And I know there was rumours that it was aliens. We didn't know before we saw the movie. And as soon as I was like, that seems a bit on the nose for a Jordan Peele movie. And then it turns out to be a prank. And I was like, oh, he did kind of get me. He kind of disappointed me and pulled me back. Like, but for this one, it feels kind of, I don't know.
It fits.
I think it fits the design.
Yeah, it fits the kind of story they're telling with the kind of aliens they're showing. And how it works, I really, really like that movie.
So, I think that's all. Like, we're trying not to give spoilers because we want to have shorter episodes because normally our episodes go on fucking hours. And, I want to get people to watch films rather than ruin them for people. Because not many of our friends, who apparently listen to this podcast, none of them like horror films. So, instead of spoiling the film for them, fucking go and watch it.
Yeah, watch it.
It's on really Disney Plus.
I know.
It's called No One Will Save You.
No One Will Save
You. It's so good. It's really good.
Okay, so what's our second film?
As already mentioned, it is the one I'm more excited to talk about.
Oh my god. Yes, Cobweb.
Cobweb.
It's okay, it was just a bad dream. I heard it again.
No more nightmares tonight. Okay, champ?
Daddy!
This is getting ridiculous.
This is an old house. There's bound to be bumps in the night.
And it's funny because we try to watch this movie. The first time we try.
At the cinema.
At the cinema.
Say. Yeah.
It was like 2 days or one day before me going on a holiday with a friend or something. So
before you, can I tell you why this happened? You can tell them what happened, but I can tell you why it happened.
Okay.
Which is, we had booked tickets to go and see it. Then, I can't remember the reason, but you had asked, oh, can you cancel it and change it to a different date or a different time or something? Something like that. And so I was like, yes. So I cancelled it, the tickets. And then the plan for that you had written, that didn't end up happening. So then it was like, oh, you can just rebook the tickets at the same time. And I had got the time between what we thought we were going to change it to versus what the original one
mixed
up.
I wanted to go on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Because Sunday, I think the weather will be... something to do with the weather.
Yeah.
But it happened a Saturday. Apparently, it was the cinema day in the UK. And everything was so loud. And I was like, okay. So,
that's exactly what it was. So National Cinema
get
Day.
Get back to the original booking. Mm-hmm. And we got confused with the time, I think. And
so what happened? So
we went to the cinema.
Yeah.
Didn't go with them by popcorn, right?
Yeah,
we
just
went. Yeah. And sat there. And then there's this teacher going to the parents' house saying, hi, your kid drew this, make this picture. I think he needs help. No, my kid is fine. Thank you. And I thought, oh, okay. So we just start the movie with the teacher noticing that there's something wrong with the kid. Okay.
So it was obvious that the movie had started. It was obvious of that.
And you went to ask.
How long is that?
It was like 30 minutes.
It was like 30, 35 minutes.
And I was like, oh.
And the movie's like 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
So
we left.
A third through. So we were just like, let's leave.
And I think we watched it like a week after that.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely we missed a lot.
Yes.
But yeah, we watched it. And this is one of my favorites this year so far.
To set the scene a little bit with Cobweb, other than us making a mistake when we went to see it in the time, I think this one doesn't seem to, as I said, No One Will Save You kind of had a burst of praise that's kind of died online. This one didn't seem to get that, I don't think, which I'm not sure if that's because of the release strategy, because the release strategy is fucking mental for this movie. It came out in cinemas, which is good. I'm a big cinema fan. It came out in the USA on July 21st, 2023.
Ah, nice summer movie.
So, I looked, what was the box office that week? You think it's exactly what you think it is. You remember it. We all remember it. It was number one, Barbie, 258 million. Number two, Oppenheimer, 128 million that week. And other movies in the top 10 were Mission Impossible and Indiana Jones.
Oh my god.
Both of which are considered box office bombs because of how well Oppenheimer and Barbie just fucking steamrolled the season. Cobweb had no chance. Absolutely no chance at all.
No chance, yeah, I know.
And also, I've no idea why it came out in summer. This film is fucking screaming autumn at you. It's screaming
god.
Halloween.
I mean, the family in this film have like a pumpkin patch.
Pumpkin patch.
Come
in
on.
The garden. Raw pumpkins. It's so grey and blue and pumpkin-y,
cold.
Orange and cold.
Yeah.
Who's going to see this on July 21st?
I know.
I have no idea why they did that. It came out in cinemas in the UK September 1st, which is around the time we saw it. And even then I said to you when we got home, I think that's too early.
It's too early.
This should have been like coming out now.
Yeah.
Like about 2 weeks before Halloween.
Or the beginning of October, but not September, the beginning 1st. Of September.
Insane to me. So, no surprises to learn that this movie didn't really make a splash. And I think that is a bit of a tragedy. It's directed by Chris Thomas Devlin in his directorial debut. But he was a screenwriter on last year's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Legacy sequel for Netflix, which I didn't really care for.
I liked it.
He was a writer on that, but this is his first directing credit. It was, I found this out today, it was included on the 2018 Blacklist. Do you know what the Blacklist is?
No.
You heard of the Blacklist? No. The Blacklist is basically an annual survey of people in the movie industry, the business, mm-hmm. I guess Hollywood, for any screenplays that are floating around studios and people like, have you read this screenplay? But are not yet in production.
Okay.
Nobody's making them.
Okay.
And so they review, like, which ones do you think are good? So they send a list out every year and the press get out and they, you know, mm-hmm. tell you which ones are on it. So 2018 was actually a pretty good year because obviously not every film on the list gets made in the end, but there are three that have been made. Queen and Slim, have you heard of Queen and Slim?
Yeah.
With Daniel Kaluuya and Jodie Turner-Smith. Yeah. We didn't see it, but heard of it. Promising Young Woman.
Yeah.
That was on the Blacklist that year. And King Richard was on the Blacklist that year.
Oh, okay.
And Cobweb.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Now, I find that kind of fascinating also because it's like not like any of those other movies. But this movie does not scream 2018 to me.
Oh, no.
It feels like this movie was written after Malignant and Barbarian.
Yes, right. Now that you're saying, yeah,
to
that's
me,
true.
Like it feels like this new wave of horror,
do you
where
know,
it's just
those movies were like back in the time. Maybe they're just being released.
Yeah,
later.
I know, but I find it interesting that people are saying this is a great script in 2018, and you go, well, just make it, and they're like, there's nothing like that just now. Obviously, people were liking the script in 2018, but weren't making it, and I'm trying to think how to word this, like. Obviously, you say, like, well, it existed before Malignant or you know, 2018. We don't know how long Malignant was around, but it existed before that movie came out. So you can't exactly say Malignant is responsible for this. But I think it might be responsible for this getting made, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And like, Barbarian, things like that. Like, it takes someone like James Wan, because Malignant wasn't a hit.
Yeah.
And I find it strange that horror movies now are getting a bit weirder, is not the right word, because it's always been weird. Like, a bit more like, oh, let's just go fucking mental in the last third of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really need to make sense.
Yeah.
It's just madness. It's carnage. It's a good laugh. And Cobweb fits into that mold. I don't know if Cobweb ever gets made without Malignant. And I don't think Malignant ever gets made if it's not being made by someone that's not James Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that's not as, you know...
Do you need a name
behind it? A name to say,
like,
I want to make this movie. As much as weird, and the movie bombs, but people are like, oh, people were kind of into that, I guess, and there's other stories like it. So, Cobweb, just to let you know, you can't really watch it anywhere right now. It is on video on demand in the USA, so if you've got a VPN and, like, an American card that you can use to pay for things,
or
you can buy it.
What's like dodgy
stick?
Stick.
Yeah, there's dodgy sticks around.
We don't have one.
We don't have
okay.
one.
Okay.
But for example, if we've got VPNs, but it doesn't take.
But it's legal. We have.
No, but what I'm saying is the VPN takes you to wherever you buy it on Amazon Prime, but we don't have.
Yeah, we don't have any apps or like we don't have subscription in
exactly.
the platform that is showing this movie. Or whatever.
You need to pay for it additionally.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't just stream it. You need to buy it.
Oh, okay.
Or rent it. In the UK, it's currently nowhere. It's not, I believe, in cinemas anymore. And it's not yet streaming or on video demand. It's kind of in that middle period. So you're going to have to wait. Which
or
is a shame.
Or use the dodgy stick.
Or use the dodgy stick.
I bet.
And the reason it's a shame is because I say, this is tailor-made for Halloween. This should be the movie that people are lining up. Oh, I'm not doing anything on Halloween.
This is the Halloween
fucking
movie.
Put Cobweb on.
Yeah.
This is it. And I'm here to blow its trumpet. So whenever it does come out, and you heard it here, fucking listen to us. So, the plot. Again, as spoiler-less as possible. It stars Lizzie Kaplan, we should say. If you like Mean Girls.
I didn't know.
How do you not know?
I don't know.
You didn't know she was in it, or you didn't know who she was?
I don't know who she was.
She looks exactly the same. She's just not goth.
Exactly. I don't know.
She's got the same face.
But she's super skinny and, like, I don't know, like, mom kind of. I don't know.
I love just, Lizzie Caplan.
A family with a kid.
Yeah, a kid who's not.
Has like an.
Well, they say he's got an active imagination. Yeah. He can't sleep and he's scared of things in the dark. He hears
voices.
Yeah.
In school, the teacher, the substitute teacher, start noticing.
He's not got really any friends. Uh-huh. He's a bit different.
And it's like, can't sleep and start like showing in the way he is something that is not all right. And the teacher noticed this. The teacher tells the parents, look, there's something wrong with him. The parents are like, it's fine.
Yes.
He's just like, has an active imagination. We as a family will like deal with this.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to get involved. Don't worry. But thank you for letting us know.
But they say in a really condescending way.
Yeah, the
way.
Teacher like, is really? Like, what the fuck with this family? Yeah. And yeah, like, and I think that's what it is. It is something there. What was happening is the kid seeing something real. Yes, he can hear things. He sees things and says, you need to help me. There's something there, uh-huh. Like, it's like, help me, this ghost or whatever, or like, it's a whatever, real thing or whatever. Of,
yeah.
And yeah, I think that's, I don't know the what setup, else to say.
The setup is essentially, I think, as I was watching the movie going like, oh, this is a lot darker than I thought it was. Because the poster is, you know, it's like someone with really long hair and cobwebs of it. And as you say, you're watching the movie, there's lots of, okay, rotting pumpkins, but it gives off like Halloween-y vibes.
Yeah, creepy house, pumpkin patch.
Mm-hmm.
It's during fall.
Yeah,
yeah, like it's set on, like you can see it's cold.
Yeah, but what I'm
saying, the parents are creepy.
But what I'm saying is, I think it gives like if you just take it from that, like just looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is going to be like I don't know, kind of light, not light, but like. It isn't going to be anything super emotionally scarring.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the movie sort of progresses on, and as they say, the teacher raises these things to the parents, they're a bit dismissive. I was like, is this a movie about like, I don't know, like child abuse or family abuse? Like the mm-hmm. parents are so dismissive yeah. and so kind of aggressive and so like
you know
mean
what?
To the kid. At one point, a little bit of spoiler, I was locking him in a basement. And I was like, oh, this is a lot darker than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, these parents are really fucking mean. Like, really, really horrible people.
Oh, and I'd like to mention that this is specifically for Halloween. Because Halloween, it's about to happen in this movie. And the parents don't like Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they say, like, oh, there's bad stories. Like, remember, this happened.
The kid went missing or something.
Went missing. We don't like that. This is like a horrible celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is a Halloween movie, like.
But
perfect.
So I was thinking, I was like, as you're going on, you're like, all right. So are the kids involved? Sorry, are the parents involved in the kidnapping that they mention? Like, is this really fucking dark? Like, is this like, who's the guy that kidnapped his daughter? Remember, and Joseph, someone,
I don't know.
In Austria, they had left her in the basement for 18 years. You know yeah. Like that. Like I'm watching it, going, oh shit, this is way more fucked up than I thought it was going to be. But and then. You get to the basic, whenever it reveals what is happening, who or what the kid's imagination has been or hasn't been hearing, what is happening, and things get unlocked, and it turns into like, oh no, don't worry, this is a proper fun House of Horrors movie.
It's where so good.
Fucking things are going to get ripped apart, people are going to get blown to bits, like it's just, it goes mad, and well, it just has its fucking insanity moments, and I was like, yes.
If I had to pair it with another movie.
It easily pairs with one, in my opinion.
I feel this is like The Visit. Is that the name of the movie?
Oh, okay. That's not what I had in mind. You're talking about the M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Yes.
Okay, with the grandparents.
Oh my God. I love that movie. And I feel like it's you as like a specter. You watch a movie and you feel, okay,
mm-hmm.
They are with their families, with yeah, yeah. people that they trust, but there's something off.
Right.
Okay. And I like that. Like, grandparents, there's something wrong. Yes. But we don't know what's happening and how it turns to be. And then with this, it's like, okay, why the parents are being so weird? What is it?
Yeah.
There's something off. And it's like, I feel for the kid that is alone. He needs to defend himself or what he needs to do. The same with the visit. It's the two siblings. It's like, our grandparents are weird.
Yeah.
I don't feel safe, but you should feel safe in that house with the people you love. And it's the same with this one. I feel like those movies are like, can go
I hand can see your hand. Point. They go hand in hand. Yeah. I flip them slightly in terms of in The Visit, as much as we're like, there's something wrong with the grandparents. Mm-hmm. It never feels nasty. I don't know if that's the right word.
Okay.
Like, obviously they're getting up to some weird shit, but the movie is like funny and light and like it's
no, it's not. It's it is disturbing.
It's not. It's got jokes in it. The Visit has jokes.
Didn't you see all the diapers with poo and
that's what something? I'm saying. At the end, it gets super dark, but the movie has jokes as it punctuates throughout.
Again, I don't feel something comfortable with the old people. I feel okay.
Right. What I'm trying to say is, this movie is, I think, really fucking dark in its sort of like midpoint.
Okay.
With how the parents are treating the kid. Like, I'm like, oh shit, this is really brutal. This is pretty dark. This is not going to play to a wide audience. I could see why it bombed, because people don't want to go to the cinema to watch a movie about parents being abusive to their kid. Like, that's really heavy. Mm-hmm. And then the end is like, I know, it's a fucking house of horrors. It's just, and just, and you're like, okay. Whereas The Visit is the old people being weird, but the kids are still making jokes about it. They're uncomfortable, but they're still making jokes about it. The kid's doing his raps and they're awkward and it still has laughs. Oh. And then the end, when it reveals what's going on in The Visit, you're like, that's pretty dark. And then, as you say, the diapers and the poo and everything, it's gross. But they both have their gross moments, but I think they flip the kind of head as to when the movie decides to get disturbing. Mm-hmm. I think Cobweb gets disturbing early and then releases it at the end. Okay. Whereas The Visit kind of builds it, I'd say. I don't know if you agree with that.
I feel like The Visit for me, like, okay, you have one day with the kids and blah, blah, it's not that bad, jokes, blah, blah, oh, they're old. And then it's like, no, this is weird.
Like, I pair this perfectly with Barbarian. That's what I pair it with.
Okay, no, for me it will be The Visit.
Which is, okay, yeah, it has its opening sequence, which is, you know, fucking a bit of House of Horrors and like a monster or whatever the fuck that is. And then it cuts to, I can't remember the actor's name, but in the car singing along. Justin Long.
Yeah.
Cuts to him in the car and you're like, what is this?
It's a totally different movie.
It's a totally different movie. But his part gets dark quickly in terms of, why is he going to the house? He's been accused of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. That's heavy. Okay, what the fuck is this? He lives in Hollywood. He's a Hollywood producer or actor or something. Okay, we know Hollywood's just gone through this. That is heavy. That is dark.
Fair enough, but I...
And then the movie ends with, like, a fucking explosion again. I think Cobweb has... Like, Lizzie Caplan is a fucking demon in this movie.
She's so good.
And she's the... But she's the worst mum.
I know.
And the dad as well, like, he's the worst dad. It's not like, oh, the kid's got an imagination and he's annoying his parents. No, these parents are shit-ass parents.
Oh, yeah. I feel sorry for the kid.
I feel so sorry for the kid.
It's such a good movie. I really, really liked it. I was in a party last night. We were discussing the horror films and I was like, you guys need to watch this. And yes. They were like, but it surprised me, like, oh, yeah, I heard about that movie.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay, good. You heard. That's good. That's a start.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe it's going to become slowly like a movie that people is going to appreciate more because it came out in the wrong time.
Came out in the wrong... It should be out right... Like, it should be available for everyone to watch now, whether it's in cinema or on demand or on streaming somewhere. It should be... People should be able to have Halloween parties to watch Cobweb.
Yes.
That's exactly what they should be able to do. And for some reason, they're not allowed to because the fucking release for this movie makes no sense.
I know.
One last thing I would just say is, as I said, I listened to our episode on our top 10 films from last year, and my number 10 was Soft and Quiet. And I mentioned in that you recommended that film to two people. And I was baffled by this because it was in my top 10, but I was baffled. Why are you recommending Soft and Quiet? That movie is fucking heavy. That is not pleasant. It's not put a horror movie on and we'll all laugh and jump. No, that movie is
it,
gonna
it
fucking,
is heavy, but
that it, yeah. Cobweb, I think, could no. seem like that
no,
for,
I, no,
for
I don't think
40 minutes. And then, no, it's not. I agree it's not. But I would say people watching it going, this is a bit depressing, a bit like, what the fuck is this? I don't want to watch this on Halloween. This doesn't make me feel fun with friends. It gets there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm recommending, without spoiling, if you're watching Cobweb, if you somehow get hold of it and you're thinking, this is not the fun fest that Callum and Hizella promised, it gets there.
Yeah, don't worry. Stay
don't
there.
Don't worry. Stay with it. And whoever is releasing a movie like this in future, fucking have the balls to release it on Halloween.
I know.
I know it was going to come up against Saw 10 and The Nun 2 and The Exorcist Believer, which is out right now. I get it. It was going to come up. But wouldn't it be better to come up against those than come up against Barbie and Oppenheimer?
I know.
I get. Maybe, oh, it's counter-programming, so the horror fans have something to watch. But the Insidious 5 was out at the same time. Like, it just, this movie doesn't play in summer. Doesn't play in summer at all.
Yeah.
So, apologies, Cobweb. You were screwed. You never had a chance.
I know. We failed you.
We did. Well, we didn't, because we went in
Florida. Oh, yeah, we did. Twice.
Kind of. And before, I mean, just to let you know, this is my favourite horror film of the year so far. It's Cobweb.
Oh.
I love it. I love this era of horror where, like, as I say, the Malignants, the Barbarians. Malignant was my favourite horror film of the year it came out. Barbarian was my number two of the year it came out. Like, I like a good, fun House of Horrors madness movie.
Oh, same.
And Cobweb, just, you know, I'll be buying it and I'll be slotting it into that collection.
Yeah, thank you, Cobweb.
Thank you, Cobweb. So, I don't really have anything else to say on this episode. This is our first episode back in a while. Oh, yeah. I don't know how structured it's been. Try to make it structured. Who knows? For the people who've said, are you ever going to do that again? Watch them not listen to this and it get a total of zero listens. So screw you guys. But hopefully you did listen. And next week we will be doing a franchise special, because this podcast started talking about franchises and there's three fucking major ones out right now.
Ooh.
The Conjuring universe is out. The Saw franchise,
God.
The World of Saw is back. And The Exorcist, for the first time since fucking 2005 or something, the first one post the death of William Friedkin, it's out. It's back. The Exorcist is back in cinemas with The Exorcist Believer. So we will be talking those three next week. So gracias por escucharnos.
Y hasta la próxima.